and the overhead panel began to glow softly. Molina stumbled out of bed and ran barefoot to the lavatory. After he had relieved himself and crawled back into bed, he thought, I wish Lyra were here. I shouldn't have made her stay at home. Torch Ship Himawari. The ship's name meant sunflower. Yamagata had personally chosen the name, an appropriate one for a vessel involved in tapping the sun's energy. Earlier generations would have said it was a fortunate name, a name that would bring good luck to his enterprise. Yamagata was not superstitious, yet he felt that Himawari was indeed the best possible name for his ship. While all except the ship's night watch slept, Yamagata sat in the padded recliner in his stateroom, speaking to a dead man. The three-dimensional image that stood before Yamagata was almost solid enough to seem real, except for a slight sparkling, like distant fireflies winking on a summer's evening. The image was perfect in every detail. Yamagata saw a short, slightly chubby man with a shock of snow-white hair smiling amiably at him. He was wearing a tweed jacket with leather patches on the elbows, and blue jeans, with a soft turtleneck sweater of pale yellow, and an incongruous velvet vest decorated with colorful flowers. Robert Forward had died nearly a century earlier. He had been a maverick physicist, delving into areas that most academics avoided. Long before Duncan and his fusion propulsion drive, which made travel among the planets practical, Forward was examining the possibilities of antimatter rockets and laser propulsion for interstellar travel. Yamagata had hired a team of clever computer engineers to bring together every public lecture that Forward had given, every seminar appearance, every journal paper he had written, and incorporate them into a digitized persona that could be projected as an interactive holographic image. Calling themselves chipmunks, the young men and women had succeeded brilliantly. Yamagata could hold conversations with the long-dead Forward almost as if the man were actually present. There were limits to the system, of course. Forward never sat down. He was always on his feet. He paced, but only a few steps in any direction, because the image had to stay within the cone of the hologram being projected from the ceiling of Yamagata's stateroom. And he always smiled. No matter what Yamagata said to him, Forward kept the same cheerful smile on his round, ruddy face. Sometimes that smile unnerved Yamagata. As now, while Yamagata showed the disastrous efficiency curves to Forward's image, the physicist's hologram continued to smile even as he peered at the bad news. Degraded by solar radiation, huh? Forward said, scratching at his plump double chin. Yamagata nodded and tried not to scowl at the jaunty smile. The numbers check out? Forward asked. My people back at New Kyoto are checking them. You didn't expect the degradation to be so severe, eh? Obviously not. Forward clasped his hands behind his back. Well, he said, drawing the word out, assuming the numbers check out and the degradation is a real effect, you'll simply have to build more power satellites, or larger ones. Yamagata said nothing. Forward seemed to stand there, frozen, waiting for a cue. After a few seconds, however, he added, If each individual power sat can produce only one-third the power you anticipated, then you'll need three times as many power sats. It's quite simple. That's impossible, said Yamagata. Why impossible? The technology is well in hand. If you can build 10 power sats, you can build 30. The costs would be too high. Ah, Forward nodded knowingly. Economics. The dismal science. Dismal, perhaps, but inescapable. The Foundation cannot afford to triple its costs. Even if you built the power sats here at Mercury, instead of buying them from Selene and towing them here from the moon, build them here. Forward's image seemed to freeze for an eye-blink's span. Then he began ticking off on his chubby fingers. Mercury has abundant metals. Silicon is rarer than on the moon, but there's still enough easily scooped from the planet's surface to build hundreds of power sats. You'd save on transportation costs, of course, and you'd cut out Selene's profits. But I would have to hire a sizable construction crew, Yamagata objected, and they will want premium pay to work here at Mercury. Forward's smile almost faded, but he quickly recovered. I don't know much about nanotechnology. The field was in its infancy when I died, but couldn't you program nanomachines to build power sats? Selene makes extensive use of nanomachines, Yamagata agreed. There you are, said Forward, with an offhand gesture. Yamagata hesitated, thinking. Then, but focusing 30 laser beams on a starship's light sail, wouldn't that be difficult? Forward's smile returned in full wattage. If you can focus 10 lasers on a sail, you can focus 30. No problemo. Yamagata smiled back, until he realized that he was speaking to a man who had lived a century earlier, and even then was known as a wild-eyed theoretician with no practical, hands-on experience. Nanomachines. Nanomachines? Alexios asked the image on his office wall. Yes, replied Yamagata with an unhappy sigh. It may become necessary to use them. We have no nanotech specialists here, said Alexios, sitting up tensely in his office chair. It was a lie. He himself had experience with nanotechnology, but he had kept that information hidden from everyone. I am aware of that, Yamagata replied. There are several in Selene who might be induced to come here. We're crowded down here already. Yamagata's face tightened into a frown momentarily. Then he regained control of himself and put on a perfunctory smile. If it becomes necessary to build more power satellites than originally planned, your base will have to be enlarged considerably. We will need to build a mass launcher down there on the surface and hire entire teams of technicians to assemble the satellites in orbit. Alexios nodded and tried to hide the elation he felt. It's working, he told himself. I'm going to bleed him dry. Aloud, he said to Yamagata, many of my team are quite distressed by nanomachines. They feel that nanotechnology is dangerous. Strangely, Yamagata grinned at him. If you think they will be unhappy, imagine how Bishop Danvers will react. Sure enough, Yamagata heard an earnest rap on his stateroom door within a half hour of his conversation with Alexios. Enter, he called out, rising from his comfortable chair. Bishop Danvers slid the door open and stepped through, then carefully shut it again. How kind of you to visit me, said Yamagata pleasantly. Danvers's usually bland face looked stern. This is not a social call, I'm afraid. Ah, so. Yamagata gestured to one of the plush armchairs arranged around his recliner. Let's at least be physically comfortable. Would you like a refreshment? Tea, perhaps? The bishop brushed off Yamagata's attempts to soften the meeting. I understand you are considering bringing nanomachines here. Yamagata's brows rose slightly. He must have spies in the communication center, he thought, believers who report everything to him. Coolly, he replied, it may become necessary to use nanotechnology for certain aspects of the project. Nanotechnology is banned on Earth, not on Selene or anywhere else. It is dangerous. Nanomachines have killed people. They have been turned into monstrous weapons. They will be used here to construct a mass driver on Mercury's surface and to assemble components of power satellites. Nothing more. Nanotechnology is evil. Yamagata steepled his fingers, stalling for time to think. Do not antagonize this man, he warned himself. He can bring the full power of Earth's governments against you. Bishop Danvers, Yamagata said placatingly.